we invite you to listen to The Deciding Factor, written this week by John Cavicchia. Sooner or later, all men and women reach the most important crossroads of their lives. It is then that fate, at the final moment, provides the deciding factor.
Nothing left but illusions.
You are bitter.
Have I not the right to be? You won't answer. I know what you are thinking.
You were ambitious.
There is nothing wrong with ambition. Nothing.
And that is what it has left you.
Nothing. To be here, where there is only ice and snow.
So cold. My hands, my lips freeze.
After the warmth and luxury of Palestine.
It is painful being an exile.
Outcast, prohibited, empty. Land, fortune, title, stripped. Herod is dying. And my daughter...
is dead.
Oh, Salome.
Salome. Salome. Dance. Do you remember?
Oh, Salome.
When the priests first called...
Yes, yes. I remember.
This evening's play, Herodias and After, is produced and directed by Andrei Botner.
The priests called me.
The fortress, Herodias!
I am Aziah, prince of Sumeria, high priest of the Chaldeans.
My lord.
We have heard of your powers.
And I have heard much of those of the Sumerians. They are reputed to be formidable. Why was I called? Why was I called?
If you had known why then, would you have remained?
I was curious, fascinated. The priests chanting, their throbbing voices numbing my senses, the thick smell of incense smoldering in my nostrils.
Would you have remained?
The soft shuffle of their sandaled feet, the languorous swaying of their robes, white and spectral in the embracing gloom, like rushes whispering on the edge of a lake.
It was not the beauty of the scene that kept you there, nor perhaps its mysteries.
I was lured there. Whispered conspiracies, insinuations. The words power, magic, glory cast in, clear and deliberate among the indistinct suggestive conversations. Those words repeated over and over again, hypnotic, mesmerizing.
You came because you were ambitious, constantly devouring. How can I increase my treasures? How can I seize greater political control? How can I make the world bow down?
Aziah, don't nag me.
The priests chose well when they selected you. And they knew how to bait their trap. Perhaps they chose a little too well. A woman so greedy for power would not rest once she had achieved the aims of the priests. She would go on consuming the priests themselves in time. That is what wrecked everything.
I was younger then.
Welcome, Herodias. I see Prince Azia has already welcomed you himself.
That he has, sire, and whetted my curiosity.
That thirst we shall hope shortly to slake. Come this way to where our celebrants are gathered.
We, the priests of the Chaldeans, the Sumerians, and the Assyrians,
we, the priests of Egypt and Persia,
of all Central Asia, have assembled in mutual fear.
Fear? Of what?
Recently, our oracles have warned us of a new force that has risen in the freshly conquered lands of the Romans.
In Palestine.
A force that burgeons rapidly, threatening to sweep before it all the ancient mysteries, the knowledge and wisdom of our civilization.
Replacing them with something brutal, relentless, unswerving in its condemnation of all to which it is opposed.
All our revelations have repeated the same dire warning. It will destroy us all.
Impossible. Others have tried and failed. Besides, haven't our histories shown that whatever new belief is fostered, whatever new gods discovered, we, all of us, tolerate their growth, have learned to let our various beliefs coexist amicably side by side, borrowing and sharing whatever knowledge we can.
Even so?
I myself, when confounded by some mystery whose secret I've earnestly sought, have turned to the writings of the Medes, or to the followers of Mithras.
That we all have. The search for knowledge recognizes no barriers. But this thing that rises in our midst is no respecter of wisdom or of the ways of the old world. It replaces learning with ignorance, which it labels by the catchword faith.
But surely your combined powers could swiftly eradicate it.
Oh, that we have tried to do. But murder of its adherents leads to martyrdom in the eyes of the rabble.
This is the religion of the kitchen, of slaves and beggars.
Not of them alone. Already it sweeps upwards, corrupting the priesthoods of the East, converting members of the aristocracy.
Bored, dissatisfied men seeking some new entertainment to relieve their tedium.
We have concluded, after long deliberation, that the only course open to us is to destroy this sect at its head.
Without someone to guide it, there will be confusion. Its followers will not know which way to go.
It has already established a leader, a young Essene, fanatical, and in some ways imbued with a certain mysticism.
He has remained unchallenged. His prophecies titillate the appetites of those to whom he preaches.
For them, he preaches of power, a new leader among men who will give them glory, a new kingdom.
A kingdom which the rabble, in their ignorance, have already misinterpreted as being temporal.
Nonetheless, they swarm to him wherever he speaks, whether it is in the mountains, some desert, or on the banks of a river.
It is he whom we wish destroyed.
Destroyed? How? Surely, my Prince Azia, and you too, my Lord Caius, are admirably capable of achieving that.
No doubt, in time, we would be able to do it.
But whatever means we chose would be obvious. Blood on the hands of any of our priests would throw our orders into disrepute. The people would turn against us, thinking we'd returned to the old clumsy ways of human sacrifice and cannibalism.
Well, my Lord Caius, what are your plans for me?
You are to leave for Palestine. There you will be presented to a younger son of Herod the Great.
A handsome prince, rather warlike.
Herod bequeathed his kingdom, with the Romans' permission, to his three legitimate sons.
This ambitious king, who is he?
Herod.
Herod the Lesser.
If you wish me to infiltrate his court, why do you not let me marry him?
Because he has many wives. You would not enjoy the power and privilege we need you to enjoy unless he sought you out himself.
He needs to be provoked into an action which will commit him to you.
bind him more remorselessly than a simple marriage of yet another wife.
How do you propose to get him to do that?
You are a beautiful woman, almost legendary. And you are skilled in all the arts of enticement. As the wife of Herod's half-brother, you would be able to enjoy being constantly in the presence of the king. And when in his presence, you could flirt with him, intoxicate him with desire, until he is ready to do anything you wish.
And that will be?
To murder his brother and seize you for his wife. Once in this elevated position, you can proceed to outlaw the disruptive influences within your husband's kingdom. The execution of a few rioters, an unruly critic or an ambitious courtier.
And, of course, of any rabble-rouser who seeks to disturb the ancient priesthood.
Such a roundabout way to achieve your ends. And I must sacrifice myself for them. And how long do you expect all this conspiring to take?
Not long. A few years. We must not act too hastily. Caution and time. But only a few years.
A few years. 14 long years, during which I learned only to hate the men to whom I was married.
We did not expect you to love them. And you were able to console yourself with many a fine captain of the guard.
Meaningless trysts, one after the other, an endless succession. Was I so unhappy? So desperate, even then? What has happened to them all? Slaughtered, dead. Even the young ones, the ones who were so much younger than I. 14 long, ugly years. And what have I received at the end of it all? 14 years, and I was not able to produce anything. Except one child. A daughter. Oh, Salome. Salome.
Look at me, Mother. Haven't I improved?
Yes. Yes, indeed you have.
Oh, now look. Everyone says I've done for this. Far better than those higher dances of fathers. Besides, they are so fat. And look, Mother, too. Look at this new set.
I'm looking, daughter. I'm looking. I had not looked far enough when I stood over the perfumed steam, watching how the wraiths within it assumed the shapes of destiny. I saw the slow consumption of city after city, country after country, as the Roman legions marched in all directions like a spider spreading its web. When I cast my magic powders, I saw in the flying dust emperor after emperor, each one shrieking his name and his inevitable disgusting end. But her, I did not see.
Never?
Never. Strange, isn't it? I would rustle through the cards or scatter the bones, but though they revealed most things, her history, they never told me.
Surely there was something. There must have been.
No. Oh, wait, maybe once, maybe more, I would catch a glimpse of something. That of a girl bearing a plate or a flat dish of some kind.
A plate?
Never once did the girl appear to be the same. Sometimes she would seem to be made of stone, like a carving, or of wood. Sometimes she seemed to be painted in glowing colors or made up of shimmering stones like a mosaic. Sometimes I managed to recognize my daughter in her. And later, Later, after it had happened. Then I recognized the ghastly posture of the girl.
Bearing the plate.
If I did not understand those things for what they were, I was certain of one thing at the time. That my daughter would be famous. I could not distinguish the subtleties. That it would be infamy. And that she would be so young. Oh, Salome. Salome. If only I had you here to share my exile.
Hardly a pleasant prospect for what would be a young woman. Scarcely a life for her.
Sometimes, Azia, you go too far. Even friendship does not save you.
You're being bitter.
Bitter? It would make sense if I were. I wasn't then. When I set off for Jerusalem, covered with jewels with which to dazzle my future husband, not even the shadow of the child I was to bear yet passed across my loins.
Oh, is this his likeness? Oh, he's truly handsome. A little rough with his beard, though.
He is handsome simply because he is young. That's all there is to it. Now, Zara, are you going to waste time gossiping about my prospective husband, or will you fetch my mirror and perfume?
Oh, Your Highness, I'd forgotten.
And so I noticed. Never mind. Try now to get everything done. I don't wish to find our caravan halting at the next watering place with me emerging disheveled from my litter.
Quickly! I can hear and smell the river. Oh, we are almost there, and Your Highness is already ready.
Never have I been accompanied by such a giddy handmaid.
Your Highness, what have you heard?
That's shouting.
Before him, all will quail. Come now, and be baptized by me, you of little faith.
Who shouts?
It is the caravan drivers, Your Highness. Pay no heed to them. We are nearing the river. They shout to halt us.
No, it isn't them. Zara, are we very near the water?
Yes, Your Highness.
Then draw aside the curtains. But carefully. I don't wish anyone to see a princess peeping from her litter.
Yes, Your Highness. Oh, but the dark!
I wish to see who shouts. It isn't the voice of an ordinary man. Draw aside the curtains, Zara. I wish to see him. Draw it aside, quickly.
Yes, Your Highness.
I must see this man who shouts.
There will come after me one greater than myself. Repent! Repent! For the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Oh, he is so savage, frightening, and terrifying.
Be quiet. He will hear you and look this way.
He does look at us. Oh, his eyes. How they do stare. Your Highness. Oh, how strange the way you gaze at each other.
Those that handle the course of human lives are guilty of a macabre humor. We're made to meet someone so slightingly. A casual handshake, a light encounter among friends, and the person is gone. The same way that ships brush past each other in the night. We do not think they will see us again. We think no more of it.
And yet...
And yet they do. At some later date they reappear, large and significant, altering our lives sometimes so terribly.
The man at the river?
But those that we know well, love and cherish, who somehow seem always to have been there beside us. Our lives are inconceivable without them. They are the ones who disappear. We lose them so easily along the way, like trees shedding their leaves.
That man.
Ah, yes. Our eyes met. His red from the sun, huge from starvation.
And yours, doubtlessly black with coal and stibium, green-lidded with malachite. Oh, such meaning in a glance.
Yes, I recognized him then for what he was. He had the gift. Magic acknowledged magic. I sometimes wonder if his condemnation of me sprang from those stares we exchanged by the river. It would explain his overwhelming hatred.
Did he really hate you?
Of course he did. How else do you explain the personal attacks against my person? I'm the only one he threatened directly. Even Herod, who was guilty of far grosser crimes than I, he never openly accused.
Peculiar that a mystic should be capable of hatred.
Haven't we fallen into the same trap as he? You and I.
Oh, Herodias, is it time now for confessions? Shall I play the confessor in the custom now becoming current among the Greek slaves?
I wonder if the king is dead yet. I don't wish to return to the palace until he is.
The king? Herod?
It isn't pleasant watching a man die slowly, pathetic and helpless, dribbling and puking like a baby. There's so much terror in his eyes. That awful gurgling as he slowly drowns on his vomiting blood.
You have never forgiven him?
No.
But it was you who instructed your daughter to ask
for
the head.
Stop it, Azir! I did not tell her to dance!
No, but it suited your plans. However much you protest against it now. Of course, you had no idea of the eventual conclusion.
I'm so tired. Cold. Perhaps we should go back.
Do you remember it? It was to be one of the last of Herod's great feasts.
I have a headache. I think it's time to return.
They used to be spectacular. Even the Romans were masters of such things, were impressed. The smoking braziers, the glittering plates stained with wine and exotic sauces. The guests sprawled on their cushions, screaming and laughing as they encouraged each other to greater excess. Over here, a naked slave trips over some pet monkey. The food he carries tipping onto the floor. There, a musician has syrup poured down his back by a lascivious guest. And Herod braying drunkenly from his couch.
I had a headache. I had retired.
What would history be without its feasts? Oh, Herod was a man for one. Such a collection. The princes of Israel and Judea, the high priests from the temples, Egyptians painted like the effigies of dead kings, Romans fake the swell and humor of the barrel. And our Greeks, our decayed aristocrats of ancient civilizations, trying to conceal the bodies they once worshipped in deference to Semitic law. Oh, Herod was wonderful.
Remarkable. Everywhere the Romans have stripped the lands they've conquered, but you, your majesty, are still capable of displaying great wealth.
I have a gift for it. What was that you said? My Lord Bailey here was remarking that he was unaccustomed to seeing such wealth, conditions nowadays being what they are.
He comes from Egypt. It is a poor country.
It was not always poor, my dear general.
It was in ruins. I remember the difficulty our legions had in crossing it.
It was merely out of condition. Some of the roads were in disrepair, I admit.
Disrepair? There weren't any. We had to build them. We're still building them. As for the sanitation...
Egypt was not designed to accommodate foreign armies.
She wasn't able to house her own. If it weren't for us Romans, she would have fallen prey to some marauder who wouldn't be so scrupulous about maintaining law and order.
We've managed on our own.
Oh, be grateful, Egyptian. We're rebuilding your country at no cost to yourself.
Isn't that what you tell all the people you conquer, Roman? We've come to improve your miserable lives, and all at no expense to yourselves.
So?
At no expense. Daily, great shipments of our youth are taken to Italy. They are there corrupted or enslaved. Some die as gladiators in your barbaric circuses, and others dissipate themselves as the lovers of the highborn.
But most of them are schooled and fed. They become scholars, doctors. Some are even taught to rule and made princes and governors.
And we at home must be robbed of our youth.
At home they would die of disease and ignorance.
As for our treasures, there are none left in Egypt, nor in Greece. We've even begun to strip Persia and the lands of Gaul and Spain.
Gaul and Spain have no treasures, my lord. There is very little in Europe to provide much interest. They are still too backward, primitive. No, the lands beyond the Italian Alps are only suitable for providing slaves.
Yes. I have heard there are some splendid specimens there.
Come round to my quarters, my lord. I have some you may run your eye and hand over. Should there be one to your liking, you may take it.
Ah.
You see, your majesty, we Romans do know how to be generous.
I have no complaints, General Marcus.
None?
Everything is intact, and the Romans help me to build. New irrigation works, new roads, and new techniques in farming.
Yes. Your people are skilled engineers, General Marcus.
Thank you.
A pity they aren't a little more cultural. Technological advancement without equal social grace can result in disaster, eventually.
That is why we are forced to take so many of your young folk to Rome, to educate us.
I do believe...
Come now, my Lord Bay. You have no need to quarrel.
Of course, Your Majesty. You have many reasons to be grateful to Rome.
Why do you say that, my Lord Bay?
Haven't your armies assisted him in claiming the neighboring kingdoms of his brothers?
An oversight in my father's will. He had intended all three kingdoms to be ruled by me.
That was why he was so careful to divide them among you upon his death.
It was convenient at the time.
It can't be too pleasing for Rome to see the unification of Jewish land once again. I would have thought the division would have suited them better.
There was a time when it did. But Her Majesty Queen Herodias soon presented a strong case for the contrary.
Herodias? Ah, of course. Her Majesty is renowned for her skill in management. So she persuaded the unpersuasive into permitting the old empire of Herod the Great to rise once again.
As I said, her case was strong.
And my brothers regrettably did not possess the same loyalty to Rome that I do. Herodias foresaw that there'd be trouble in their kingdoms, rebellions, riots. So naturally, she advised the Roman government to unify the three kingdoms under one head. One person. Who would see that Rome was not troubled by revolution and disorder.
And you have kept your part of the bargain, Your Majesty.
As Rome has kept hers. Tell me, whose plan was it to make your seizure of your brother's kingdom so simple? Just a matter of a couple of assassinations? Far better than a long, protracted war. Tell me, whose idea was it? Rome's or the Queen's?
One hears the word fratricide whispered far too frequently of late.
Naturally, the Queen had some previous experience in such matters. The rather dismal affair of her former husband, your half-brother, I believe.
He was known to be ill.
Prisoners in dungeons normally are. Oh, boy, more wine. But tell me, Your Majesty, have you really been able to quell rebellions against Rome within your own kingdom? I heard that there have been a number of famines and the new system of taxes. I'm afraid that's been rather poorly received.
There hasn't been any trouble, my Lord Bay.
A little successfully put down.
But some of the trouble stems from a group of rabble-rousers. A most unusual group, I'm told.
Go on.
They evidently despair at the immorality spreading among your people, Your Majesty.
They offer spiritual salvation.
Instead of bread.
Tediously impractical. Nonetheless, it seems to have worked.
It hasn't.
Oh, it has. It has. The populace is enchanted.
A handful of dissidents. Ignorant beggars.
They always are, aren't they? Amazing, but it is unfortunate. Just when you wish to present such an atmosphere of peace and happiness to Rome. You should do something about it, Your Majesty.
I have.
Oh, yes, so I'd heard. You've imprisoned one of the leaders of the new sect.
He is my guest here.
He seems to be particularly vehement against Her Majesty, Queen Herodias.
Some long-distant encounter along a road, she told me.
A secret romance?
Or a hatred. A leader of the sect? Here.
You did not inform me.
I did not think it necessary.
Rome has sought this man everywhere, and you did not think it necessary to inform us.
He is a holy man. One of my people. I could not hand him over to foreigners.
It could be a question of allegiance.
Have you not said enough? I will not listen to this idle gossip.
I would not mind hearing a little more.
Two slaves, General Marcus. Two. I hear those Gauls are tall and strong.
Two, yes. Tell me a little more.
Everywhere they clamor for him. Some to adore and follow him, others to stone him. The Pharisees and Sadducees condemn him and want him handed over to their tribunals.
My Lord Bay, you overstep yourself.
He has my patronage.
Rome, of course, sees in him only a troublemaker. The Queen sees him as a rival.
Rival? You go too far.
In sorcery. Haven't you heard?
Too far, damn it!
His Majesty here is ambiguous in his feelings towards the creature. As you've heard, he calls him a holy man.
He is holy. Whatever he is accused of, whatever trouble he causes, heaven has marked him. Why do you waste your time pursuing him? Allow me to offer you better amusements. A bear fight, a pantomime,
or a young girl to dance for us.
Girl? To dance? Yes, yes, I have the very one. My stepdaughter, fetch her quickly.
I don't want to dance. They're all drunk and they shout obscenity.
Hello, my dear child. I beg you, dance for us. Think of what I may give you.
What will you give me?
Anything. Some pretty jewels to hang about your throat. Or a little Nubian slave boy to carry your fan.
Anything?
Of course. Of course. Am I not a king? My word is law. My lord! My daughter will dance for you.
You danced for him.
For his guests. For your sake. Mine? He told me that they had been criticizing yourself and him. I heard them muttering about a holy man.
Your canal.
Oh, they were all so drunk. And they behaved so funnily. But he promised me anything I wanted.
Anything you wanted?
Yes.
Well, what did you ask for? Have you asked for anything yet?
No, I couldn't decide. Well, that's why I came to you. What do you think I should ask for?
Day and night he cries out against me. He fears me. Fears me for what I may do to him and the cause he espouses. Everywhere I hear him.
I thought I might ask for a golden diadem. What think you?
The old priests repeatedly come to me, begging me to fulfill my task. Already they are terrified of his volume's strength. But it is always I whom he cries against.
Anyway, I will ask for something costly and pretty. After all, I danced very well. Perhaps I should ask for a few slaves as well. Mother?
I can give you any of those things, my darling. Tiaras bright with jewels and handsome little pages. I can give you anything. But I cannot give you what Herod can give you.
What is it? Something rare and beautiful?
Rare, yes. But not beautiful. You must have the courage to ask for it, and you must not look at it. Promise me you will do as I say.
Yes, Mother. Oh, it'll make me so happy. So, so happy. And I will see that you have everything you want. What should I ask for? Tell me what you want me to ask for, Mother.
The head of the Baptist, Jochana.
Herodias. Herodias. I am still here.
Well, it was done. The man's head was duly presented on a plate. Herod had such a grotesque idea of humor. Only he wasn't trying to be humorous.
What a pity our priesthood was to receive it so late. Too late to save us.
He never forgave me after that. Herod blamed all the subsequent disasters on my action. In a way, he was right. I had lost heart.
You should have been triumphant.
For having killed someone who was of one's own kind.
You still persist in believing that.
It's true. Azir, I tell you it's true. The Essene and I were blessed in the same way. We merely used our gifts differently. Perhaps it wasn't my fault I destroyed him. Perhaps it was something to do with his destiny. But he had to be martyred so that his beliefs would receive recognition. Anyway, that is an argument for Theophilus.
Not one I care to pursue.
As for my daughter, my poor child, why did she disobey me and look on that head? Her young mind snapped as I knew it would. Ah, child, child, madness and suicide. And I had such ambitions for you.
I said it was ambition.
I'm cold. Let us return home.
That was Herodias and After by John Caviglia, with Diane Wilson in the title role. Keith Grenville was Herod, Michael Atkinson, Isaiah, and Sue Trower, Salome. The cast included Robert Dalkirk as Caius, Roger Dwyer, General Marcus, and Henry Goodman, the Lord Bay. Sound effects by Dirk van Straten. Audio recording by Richard Deavy. Join us next Sunday night at the same time when you can again listen to The Deciding Factor, a production by Andre Botman. Thank you.
Thank you.